Thank you to Straight Arrow News for sponsoring this video.
This five-story apartment building will soon have 16 new apartments, five of which will be available in the city's affordable housing lottery.
$2,400 does not sound affordable.
Although the new development on 3rd Street...
So to live in one of New York City's rare affordable apartments, you're going to need a six-figure salary. But only 30% of the people living here earn that much on an annual basis. Which is why, even with the help of government programs like affordable housing, most New Yorkers sadly cannot pay their rent.
Well, how much would you expect to pay in rent for a studio outside of Manhattan that's part of an affordable housing lottery?
Well, believe it or not, it still could be upwards of $2,400.
If you live in New York City, you are one of 7 in 10 people that rent. And if you live in New York City, 3 in 10 New Yorkers actually spend more than half their income just trying to keep a roof over their heads.
The affordable housing, like, unit, what's being offered is pretty unfair, and it doesn't really accommodate all people looking for housing in New York City.
It's so insane to see a one bedroom in the same neighborhood I grew up in going for over $2,000. And amenities that they're giving you is a dog bath.
More than half of New York City households are rent burdened. It's no surprise a recent Siena poll found housing a top issue for New Yorkers in the 2024 election.
So guess what those people are doing? They're taking shortcuts in everything else in their life because they can't afford maybe to buy a new car or to get married or to have a child, because all those things cost money too.
So when it comes to affordable living in America, New York City ranks dead last, and things are only getting worse. But what nobody's talking about is that high apartment rents most New Yorkers cannot pay, those don't just destroy people's bank accounts, they're also ruining people's lives, as renters have to choose between living normally and paying for an apartment so small it fits a bed and not much else, forcing people to take shortcuts or even neglect or delay important life decisions in order just to pay their bills and feed themselves in this city, something that just gets harder every single month for reasons that go beyond the price of one's apartment. And that's because rents here are high for everyone, and that includes businesses, which is why the milk at your grocery store might cost more than an arm and a leg. That grocery store, they're trying to pay their rent too, but they can pass their cost of existence on to me and you when we buy things from them. But passing along cost isn't something everyone can do, because renters are at the bottom of the city's property ownership pipeline. And with the average home price here costing just under $1 million to buy, it's pretty easy to see why. And that means the 70% of us who rent will face inescapable cost of living increases at some point. For example, if your landlord's taxes go up, your rent will go up to pay for it. And if your apartment includes heat and hot water and the costs for fuel, water, and electricity all go up, which they have, guess who's gonna pay for that? The person who lives there, and that's the renter. But that brings us to the real reason why out-of-control rents here are such a major problem, because if life is just gonna get more expensive as time goes on, the only way to make it here is to cut corners in every other area of your life so that you can afford your apartment, and then do more of that corner cutting next year because the rent's gonna go up again. Which explains why a single person can live in a tiny one-room apartment here for decades or share a tiny two-room apartment with a roommate. But as you're about to see, it also explains why growing families or anyone else without any corners left to cut in life will find that their only affordable housing options exist somewhere else.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Not that this is the perfect apartment. Clearly there is no perfect apartment, but this is a two-bedroom apartment, $48.95, and believe it or not, this is one of the most affordable places of this size, with two separate bedrooms and a living room and laundry, that you're gonna find anywhere in Lower Manhattan right now. But the big question is a place like this actually affordable? Not everyone thinks so.
But how affordable are affordable units in these lotteries? The studio here will rent for about $2,400.
$2,400 does not sound affordable.
The new development on 3rd Street.
Okay, so $2,400 rent, that's something only 30% of New Yorkers can afford. And yes, this place is $4,900, so $2,450 is the rent for one of the bedrooms here. I get that. But this is a market rate apartment in a very popular part of town. It wasn't given special tax incentives to become affordable. Yet this living room right here,
here in that bathroom. This is the size of one of these affordable studio apartments. It's like living in a little box. This is much bigger.
Here you have the living space. The kitchen is around the corner here. And then you have bedroom number one and bedroom number two.
And look at this. You can find apartments that have a similar size and layout as the place we're in right now in Astoria for $2,500. Which means you can find a bedroom somewhere in the city for $1,250 and it can be yours.
But in a city where the market rate apartments are much cheaper than the quote unquote affordable apartments, a pretty big problem starts to emerge.
A search on Street Easy shows 1 to 2 bedroom apartments available for the same price.
I feel like the affordable housing, like unit, what's being offered is pretty unfair and it doesn't really accommodate all people.
So the problem with New York City real estate isn't that you have market rate apartments like this that have a price that it's going to rent at because it's the cheapest one in the entire neighborhood and other stuff that's more than this has been renting recently. That's not the problem.
The problem is the affordable apartments that were created to give people a way to find places that weren't as expensive as this apartment, those aren't any cheaper on a per person basis.
And there are many people out there who just have no option. They can't find anywhere to live.
But it's important to understand that this is not down to unfairness on the part of the property owner. Because remember, every apartment's cost is the product of what it costs to make, which explains a few things.
First, it explains why renting something in a 100-year-old building costs exactly the same as it does to rent something in a building that was built yesterday. And that's because this older building, this was much cheaper to obtain than these brand new box apartments that you see, and it was cheaper to turn into an apartment that's livable and that people can actually use, plus two people can live here.
And the dirty little secret about affordable housing is that in many cases, it's the city that keeps places unaffordable because of all of the laws and regulations that it has when you want to build something, which greatly magnify the amount of time it's going to take to get something built in the first place.
And yes, there are all these new wonderful housing initiatives that promise to help people with affordable apartments that may exist at some point in the future, but those don't exist today, and they're not going to help anybody by the time tomorrow rolls around, that's for sure.
3 in 10 New Yorkers actually spend more than half their income just trying to keep a roof over their heads. So guess what those people are doing? They're taking shortcuts in everything else in their life because they can't afford maybe to buy a new car or to get married or to have a child.
So if today you're struggling to pay your rent, the idea that tomorrow, and by tomorrow I mean in 4 or 5 years, an affordable place is going to exist somewhere, that doesn't really matter to you. You've got to make different choices now to pay your rent for the place you're in now. And by different choices, I mean you're going to have to do a lot of what many New Yorkers are doing today. You're going to have to cut things out of your life so that you can afford a place to live in general. Things like Spotify. Do you need Spotify Premium or can you watch it with the ads? What about Mint Mobile instead of T-Mobile? I think it's a lot cheaper, $15 versus $50 or $60.
And instead of going to Whole Foods where the milk might be almost $8 or $10, maybe you could go to Key Foods where it's a lot cheaper, about half that, if not more.
But it actually goes a lot further than that because let's say you find a place that you can afford and you're in here and you get settled and all of your stuff is able to fit in a closet that's this big. That's of course a great thing, but how then do you go and make the life decision to invite somebody else to share this with you? That's not gonna work, which means you're going to have to move, and then that whole cycle of trying to find something affordable again starts all over, and the affordable apartments, as we're learning, are actually less affordable than something like this, where you've got more space for the same dollar amount that you get for a tiny box elsewhere.
And the problem this creates is that it traps people psychologically in a mindset that is as big as the bedroom they're currently able to afford. Their whole life, every decision that they make has to fit within the needs of the space that they're currently in.
There isn't room for a dog or another person because at this price point, $2,400, you get a room that's about this big or you get a studio that's about this big. Which one do you want? Either way, if you want something bigger, it's gonna cost a lot more, which not everyone can afford and definitely doesn't work for a growing family.
But although high rents are crushing everyone in this city, there's another reason for that that has nothing to do with your landlord or even the city's leaders.
And some people say this problem is an even bigger deal than rents nobody can afford.
The topics we're covering today reveal that we live in a crazy world, and it doesn't help that news is coming at us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from both reputable and not so reputable sources. And as somebody who spends hours researching current events, I can tell you firsthand that many mainstream outlets are just giving you their preferred version of the story, which is why you need to know about Straight Arrow News, today's video sponsor, who helps you find fact-based, nonpartisan reporting on every topic that matters, while helping you walk through the minefield of bias reporting that is today's media landscape. Straight Arrow News lets you discover all sorts of perspectives, see the facts, and come to your own conclusions. First up, they've got the media landscape, which tells you what networks are covering a given story and which side of the political spectrum they're on. Plus, Straight Arrow News divides opinion-based articles on the political orientation of select contributors, including prominent, sensible voices on both the right and the left. On top of that, there's even a media miss tool, which highlights articles that mainstream media may have been too busy spinning their audiences to cover. But the best part is Straight Arrow News, it's completely free to use. Check out the link in the description of this video to see what a difference unbiased, fact-based reporting can actually make. Now let's get back to the video. So here we are a few blocks away from that apartment, and these here, these are not apartments. These are offices where people are living all right, only at their desks to afford their rents, which is what you do when you're a grown-up. You live at work so that you can afford the rest of your life. But there's a problem, because what happens to your life if the company you work at or the job you have stops paying you what it used to, yet it still requires all of your time? And how big of a problem is this if your rent goes up faster than your wages?
Two-thirds of middle-income households believe that their income was falling behind the cost of living. The paychecks of typical workers have not grown nearly as fast as overall economic growth.
So this is a big problem throughout the country, but it's even worse here. People's jobs not paying what they need to meet an increasing cost of living that goes up higher than the amount of money that they make. And if inflation is making it harder for your company to do business, no matter what that business is, they might not have as much to spend on wages as they used to. And for many workers, costs are being passed along to them by both their employers and their landlords at the exact same time. And look at this. Here we have a chart, wage growth versus inflation. There is a pretty big gap there that has not changed in a while. And this chart is from over the last 4 years since 2020. And that brings up a big question. If this is happening, if people's jobs aren't paying what they used to, what could workers do about that? How could they fix that and get out of that situation so that they could get into a better living situation in a city like this?
The best bargaining chip any employee has to getting wage growth is going to the boss and saying, I'm going to go somewhere else unless I make more money. And that's just not a credible threat when unemployment is high.
So it looks like one would have to bargain for their wages, and apparently that doesn't affect people who are super rich, who earn more than 90 to 95% of what the rest of us earn. Maybe they have some high income skill that always seems to get them paid. But for the average worker, going to their boss and saying, hey, I'm gonna leave this company if you don't pay me more, well, since we're in an environment of high unemployment, that's not a very persuasive argument. Just like the argument of going to your landlord and saying, hey, I'm gonna move out of this apartment if you keep raising the rent, that's not persuasive either, because right now, vacancy in this city, 1.4% of available apartments. It's the lowest vacancy we've had in 50 years. And just like your boss can rehire somebody else to take your position if you don't want it anymore, your landlord can refill your apartment if you don't want it anymore. Apparently, this is a really big problem for college students who are gonna graduate and try to enter the workforce. They're not finding jobs that pay enough for them to live a life that's better than having a dorm room with a whole bunch of roommates. There very well may be jobs out there for new graduates, but those jobs might not pay the $100,000 a year. Someone's gonna need to rent an affordable apartment in this city. And there's another thing that all this downward pressure on wages does. It causes people to not do things that are expensive, like moving. And what that means is people tend to stay in their apartments longer, which just creates more housing shortages, especially in a place like this where we're not building new places for people to live.
Between 1986 and 1997, almost 29% of job seekers relocated for new jobs. That number has fallen to just 1.6% in 2023. Location plays a crucial role in wages, despite the surge in...
So all across the country, people not moving, that's pushing up home prices, but it's even worse here, where the competition for homes is higher.
But even if we had thousands of affordable homes that the everyday working man was able to afford on the everyday working man's paycheck...
Thank you! Renting shouldn't be the goal of someone
forever, because if you rent, you can't ever own something. And if your rent's super expensive, that it takes up all of the money that you have, you're never gonna have the money to buy something and use the appreciation on that property like the middle class traditionally does to build wealth. And with homes in the city being so expensive that only the very, very wealthy who probably already have a home can afford to buy another one, it makes sense that most renters are never going to accomplish home ownership here, leaving unaffordable, affordable housing as everyone's best hope and option. But if renting an affordable apartment is a bad idea because that's a big trap and the jobs that most people have aren't paying what they need to help people move up the economic ladder, what exactly would one do with that information? What could you do to get out of that situation and try to benefit yourself?
Decades ago, when I was a worker, I would move to a higher productivity city, like maybe San Francisco. I'd be able to capture higher wages, gain more skills, and then...
You know, this is actually pretty good advice, and this also explains why there is so much demand for tiny New York City apartments, even though they're so unaffordable.
Wages aren't rising because unemployment is up. What that means is that the best opportunities that are out there are going to be those that not everybody wants to go and do.
Which sadly might mean you someday need to rent yourself a New York City apartment, because one thing you can do is to move to a place where there are opportunities that will help you gain skills that make you more marketable in the workplace and help you earn more money, and then leave after you acquire those skills. That's what a lot of people do. That's why we've got so many of these tiny yet supposedly affordable apartments that require massive salaries, because people are willing to come here, live here for a couple of years, whether it's with a roommate or whether it's on their own, to build skills, build their lives, and then when they want to go live a normal life, they leave. But is that the only viable plan for living in New York City? Should one come here for purely economic reasons? Or if we were to build massive amounts of apartments, would that fix things? Perhaps we should speed up how much time it takes to actually build something in this city so that it doesn't take 5-10 years to get something done around here. Let me know how you would fix our housing crisis. Thank you so much for watching. I'll see you in the next video.